This is Mod Love, the show that tackles dating, mating, and relating in the modern world, with your host, premier dating mentor and coach Jody Riley, and her partner from Straight Talk with Steve, Stephen Cardinal. Be sure to check out our previous episodes at modloveradio.com. And now, enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us tonight. You are listening to
Mod Love.
This is Jody Riley with my co-host,
Stephen Cardinal.
And we're so excited that you've joined us tonight. And apparently, I can't be quiet in our 5 seconds of quiet before Steve, you know, starts the show because I keep making noises, and then he looks at me and rolls his eyes and
There's
makes funny noises.
Breathing noises and sitting noises and moving your hair noises, and 5 seconds of silence does not mean what you think it means.
It's not my fault. These mics are really, really good.
There you go.
Thanks again for joining us tonight, guys. We have a wonderful show, and I have to admit, I can't lie, the guest that we have tonight is somebody that I have wanted to interview for a really long time.
Barack Obama?
No.
Sorry, we're not
no.
Mark Maron. We can't get guests like
No.
Better guests.
Yes. Actually, this is someone, and I don't know if that you've read this book, but we actually were part of the meetup that I'm pretty sure is where we met, was about this book. And the book is called If the Buddha Dated, and it's by Charlotte Castle. And I have to say, I have a little bit of a therapist crush, because Dr. Castle is a therapist. After having a conversation with her, she is just absolutely just fabulous. I have a therapist crush, I have to admit it.
And Jody did the interview with her on her own, so I did not get to participate in that in any way because it was during the day. And when I came home that night, she was like, I could have just talked forever, but I know that the show is only an hour long. So, you know, it's as short as it needed to be. And it's a little bit longer than our normal, which seems to becoming a pattern here. Our interviews
because
are
we've had some really good interviews.
I don't think anyone's complaining. We have received no complaints that
and our downloads are getting bigger and bigger every month. So we cannot complain
too.
Yeah.
Thank you out there certainly for tuning in and checking us out. And you know, certainly if you have not gone out to iTunes, if that's the way you listen, and if you can leave us a review, we'd love to hear from you out there because that does help make give us some visibility and help people to find us. But also, if you just want to kind of message us through our Facebook, on our Twitter, I think, is there even a comments area on the modloveradio.com website that people can send a message?
You would think I would know the answer to that, but I'm not really sure. You can send us a message. And actually, we have a listener, Kate, who has emailed me a couple times. And she emailed me the other day and she said, I'm going to leave you guys a review on iTunes. So big shout out to Kate for leaving us a review on iTunes.
Thank you, Kate. But yes, certainly if you're listening, if you like what you're hearing, if you don't like what you're hearing, but you're obviously listening in anyway because you're hoping we're going to change. Like we always say in our shows, unless you tell the person that you're in a relationship what your wants are, they're not going to guess. So we're the same way. We would love to hear what it is that you're looking for if you're not getting what you want.
Absolutely.
And even like in a relationship, sometimes the answer is no, but you can't do anything about it if you don't know what it is. So certainly communicate with us because we love to hear it. This tends to be not quite like broadcast radio, but it is kind of a one-way. We speak out to you guys and you just kind of listen, but we do have so many mechanisms for you to communicate back with us, and we love that. We love to hear from
people.
We
do.
So.
We have a lot of fun with that, and we answer. And it's not some random.
We even have a listener question tonight, so we get a question, we'll answer it. Again, we'll maintain your anonymity if that's what you want.
Always do just because that's the therapist
right.
in me.
I think that's the right way to go about it.
Yeah. So would you mind reading that listener question?
Oh, sure. Shall we dive right into this
listener
question
right
now? Okay, sure. So the listener writes, my friends are giving me a hard time because I have given up on dating. The last woman I dated completely broke my heart and I don't want to go through anything like that again. My friends keep trying to set me up and tell me I should try again, but I just want to be left alone. I'd rather be alone than be hurt again. How can I get them to back off and let me be without trying to fix me up all the time?
Well, this is a guy.
Clearly.
Well, you know what?
Well, no, I guess it's not clear anymore.
Yeah, but clearly it was because I saw the name.
Okay.
So clearly it was a guy. And one of the things I would say is anytime you want someone to do something, just tell them. If you really want your friends to back up off you, just tell them.
Just say, you just need space. Now, I'm reading this and it seems like I don't ever want to go through that again. I've given up on dating. I don't think you'll find that that's going to be the case 2 or 3 more years down the road. It's hard to put a number on it, but we are social beings. We like being with other people and relating with other people. So even though you're hurting right now, and believe me, I think we both of us here know exactly what that's like. And taking time off is perfectly reasonable. It takes a while to kind of deal with it. And depending on the amount of pain that you went through, the longer it may take. So your friends want to see you happy, right? And so they think that that's going to take care of it. And, you know, you need to be doing something for yourself to get over the pain of that previous relationship. But someday you will, and you'll get to that point where you're ready again. So maybe it's easier if you tell, or it'll work better if you tell your friends, I'm not giving up forever and ever. I'm not going to go the next, and I don't know your age, but let's say you're 50 years old. You're not going to go the next 40 years without ever dating again or being in a physical relationship with a woman or anything like that. You're taking time off now to heal and kind of figure out where you want to go, what you want to do. And so just ask them just to give you that space, and don't try to make it as I'm never going to date again, because they're going to kind of see through that that's not realistic. So they're going to want to jump in and say, well, no, that can't actually be. But if you can say, I need time right now, and I don't know how long the relationship lasted, but there's that whole idea of for every 7 years you were in a relationship with someone, you should take a year off, and it's just a number. But that might give you a guideline to say, hey, I was with this person for X amount of time. I need this much time.
Just for every year, it's a month is the guideline I've heard.
Okay, that's fine too. Yes. I knew there was something.
For every year, you take 1 month off from dating.
Half your age plus 7. That's the one number I keep in mind. That works for me.
Because 7 years, like how many people make it to 7 years? We live in Charleston. How many people make it to 7 years?
Right.
It's like Hollywood.
But like, so, but as a married person, right, if I was married for 11 years, so, you know, roughly a year and a half.
11 months.
11 months.
Yeah. Take a little time off.
A year and a half might have been a little more appropriate. But anyway.
Well, one of the things I was going to also say is that, like, you know, kind of parroting what Steve said here, you feel like it right now that you might not ever want to do it again. But I want you to keep this in mind. Don't punish everyone else who comes into your life for the past deeds of someone who's in your past.
Right. Everybody is different.
Right. Don't punish new people that come into your life for the deeds of someone who's in your past, because they are a completely different person. And just because one person broke your heart doesn't mean the next person's going to break your heart.
Right.
That's not what that means. That simply means that that was an experience. You take from it what you can learn. You leave the rest of it behind. But you don't have to, unless you choose to, and this is completely a choice, you don't have to sit on the sidelines. You can spend some time by yourself, figure out, you know, what can I take from this? What positive can I take from this and go forward? And then find somebody to be with. And you know what? Sometimes your friends are not the best judge of character. I found when I was single, a lot of my friends loved me. They wanted to see me with somebody. They were horrible at trying to find somebody for me to date. And that's not the case with everybody's friends, but I just found that my friends were not that great at it.
If your friend's a professional matchmaker, they might be a step ahead. That's why they were able to become professionals at it. But most people who are armchair matchmakers should stick to being armchair quarterbacks and worrying about football, because they're not very good at that either, but they're not going to mess up anyone else's life.
You're single and he's single. Hey,
that's good.
You guys should go on a date. And and I have horror stories, but again,
A, she has slot B.
Doesn't necessarily mean
that's
anything,
exactly right.
But again, you know, have a little compassion for your friends, because they do care about you and they want to see you happy. And even though it feels like Steve said, even though it feels like right now you never ever want to date again, stay with that feeling, give yourself time to heal, but know that just because one person broke your heart, that doesn't mean that everybody else that comes along will. So
to me, it kind of reminds me of the whole, if you've ever had one of those nights where you just drank way too much, that next day, even once the headache is gone, the stomach's gone, you're like, I am never drinking that much again. But you will someday.
That would be you at our gin and bacon party
happens.
2 years ago.
For most people, you'll get there and just it hurts so much that next day or that next period of time after the event that you're like, I am never doing that again. But you do eventually heal from it and you'll do it again. And, you know, maybe it won't hurt the next time because maybe you'll control yourself a little bit better and not drink straight gin for, you know, five different rounds, and you'll switch to a gin and tonic. Oh, is this about me again?
And you'll eat more.
and you'll actually eat some food along with that gin. Anyway, this suddenly turned into me. So
I'm sorry I did that. But there you go. So, you know, keep that in mind. And, you know, don't put yourself on the sideline forever, but do take time out to heal. And don't punish any new people coming into your life for the bad deeds of right. people.
That and let your past. Friends just know that you need some time, not yeah. that you're, you know, because again, when you say, I'm never doing this again, they know that's bullshit.
And they worry about
and
you.
And so they're
if
going
they,
to worry
yeah.
about that because they know that's BS and you're not going to be able to live up to that. So they think, well, we need to get him back on the horse. But if you can be a little more realistic in that, I need some time. I may need a year or two to kind of deal with this stuff. You give them kind of parameters of, all right, don't mess with him for this amount of time because he has a plan. He has an idea. He has some suggestion in his head of what he's going to do. And that gives us hope that he's going to deal with it rather than, I'm never doing this again. That's just kind of unrealistic.
Absolutely. And I think that's going to lead us into our next segment. So we're going to have to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to have Dr. Castle with us. And we're going to talk a little bit about if the Buddha dated. And so don't go away, folks. You're listening to
Mod Love.
Hi, Jody here from Mod Love. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. I just wanted to remind you all to visit our website at modloveradio.com. You'll notice that on our homepage on the right-hand side, there's a blue box. If you put your information in there, we will send you some free goodies. And while you're there, you can also watch videos, listen to episodes, subscribe to the show, or even check out our gallery of expert guests. You can also search for articles and send us your questions. Again, that web address is modloveradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in, and thanks for listening to Mod Love. Welcome back, everyone. This is Jody Riley with my co-host, Stephen Cardinal, and you are listening to Mod Love. And thank you so much for coming back from that break with us. We're very excited, as I mentioned in our first segment. We have Dr. Charlotte Castle with us tonight. And if you guys are regular listeners of the show, you know that I reference the book that we're going to be talking about tonight quite a bit. It's called If the Buddha Dated. And it's not a new book. It's been around for a while. But I think, as Dr. Castle and I will talk a little bit about, that this book is as relevant today as it was in, I think it's in 1999 when it came out. So welcome, Dr. Castle, and thank you so much for joining us tonight.
I'm just delighted to be here. Thank you.
So, again, this book came out in, I believe it was 1999, And do you still get as many questions about the book now as you did when it first came out?
It's still doing very well, and it's sold overseas amazing amount. So it's still out there doing very well.
Yeah, I would imagine because it's one of the things, especially with people who have possibly been divorced or have gone through a breakup, and they know that the next time, the next relationship that they're in, the next relationship that they have, they want to do it differently. And this seems to be one of those books that people turn to when they really kind of want to figure out, how do I do this differently? And I know it was for me anyway.
Well, I hear that a lot. I mean, it's been used by, quote, second time around folks, maybe even third time around, because they don't want it to be like it was before. And they're looking for some answers beyond the kind of traditional books that are aimed generally at young people and more at creating an image or doing it right or sort of rules and guidelines. So it's there for people for getting real inside and finding out who they are and letting that be part of the dating.
You know, absolutely. And it's interesting that you say that, because that's exactly what it is. It's almost the anti-rules book. I mean, it's about getting rid of all of these things that everybody says you should be doing, all the games that you need to be playing. And it's about really, and I call, what I refer to it, and I don't think I've ever seen this anywhere, it's just my own term for it, is what I call conscious dating.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
So explain to us a little bit about, you know, when you were thinking about writing this book, what prompted you to write a book about dating and relationships kind of from a spiritual perspective? Because you talk about Buddhism, Sufism, Christianity. You talk about a lot of different spiritual paths in this book, even though it's called If the Buddha Dated. But what prompted you to kind of blend all that together to write a book that talks about dating and relationships?
Well, it started out in a therapy group, a women's therapy group, with a woman who had been assaulted very badly by her husband as she was getting a divorce. He'd gone to jail, and she was in the group. And I said to her, you know, before you leave here, I'd like you to have a little booklet on how to spot the red flags inside you and the red flags inside another person when you start to date again. And she took that up and did a lot of work on it. So I had that list, and the group kind of contributed to it. I put some of it, well, I was going to put some of it in another book called Home for the Heart, and it just didn't fit. So I was sitting with that thing, and then a book came out called The Rules.
Yes.
And it was dating, like wear long hair, don't take a date after Wednesday, things like that. It did have some good stuff. It did have, like, don't sit around waiting for some guy, you know, and give up your life. But it still was very, it was, of course, totally heterosexual, and it was just too many rules, you know. And so I had a little time that week, and I, in a kind of cheeky way, wrote a proposal. I just sort of zoomed one off called Dating by Spiritual Rules, and I sent that in to my editor of several books. And she called back a couple days later, and she said, you know, I really like it. And so I got a contract, like, in 3 more days. And then I'm sitting at the computer and thinking, then I go, what would the Buddha say about this? And it was one of those bingo moments when I got, well, if the Buddha dated, let's start there. And so I started writing, and it took hold of everything. It shaped the book and shaped the next 3 books I wrote, starting with If the Buddha. So
yeah,
that's how it got started. But I was working with a lot of women in therapy who were survivors of trauma and abuse, and usually dating, or, you know, for the second or third time around, and wanted some real help with how to do this. And so we worked on that a lot in that group, and it was fed into the book, and it was really fun to write. I loved writing that book.
Well, now, who exactly were you thinking that you were going to reach with this book? Because, like I said, most of the people that I know, at least my age, Steve and I are in our 40s, and I know most of the people that I've seen that have gravitated toward this particular book were people, like I said, that were starting over for the second time, and, like you said, sometimes even the third time. Who were you thinking you were going to reach with it when you originally wrote it?
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, obviously, people who are dating. But I have a way of, I just do what comes to me to do. And obviously, I was influenced by the women in my group, because we were working on this. But I just really worked on it and put it out there. And I just was curious to see who would be interested in it. It kind of surprised me. My editor and I laughed. Here's a woman of 60 writing a book on dating. And it became very popular very fast. And it hit right at a time when Buddhism was having a whole lot of new publications and spreading out and getting a whole new audience. But I was just thinking of all the people struggling and putting on, you know, that fake act, and which I've struggled with in my life too. And how about if we calm down so that dating doesn't have to be such a difficult thing? And where our self-esteem and worth is, like, on the line. Because the truth is, if we act as natural as we can and are as real as we can, it'll work out or it won't. It just, isn't something we can control that much. And so if we are as honest as we can be and do our best job of meeting people and dating, it's not going to be devastating when it doesn't work out. It'll be like it wasn't there. It wasn't a fit. So I knew this idea had really helped a lot of people I'd worked with not get totally wiped out from dating and having a few things not work out. And you know, people were online. They did all kinds of different ways of dating.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you addressed each of those ways in your book. You talked about if you're using personal ads, if you're online. I mean, and this was back when online dating was kind of in its infancy. But you actually addressed some of the ways that you could use this approach and what a personal ad or what a profile might look like from someone from certain perspectives. I thought that was fantastic. And I don't think anybody's ever done anything like that. I mean, I just thought that was amazing. And one of the other things that I've noticed that, you know, people who have either read the book or have not read the book, sometimes people are afraid to read the book because they're almost like afraid they're going to be, you know, oh my God, I've been doing it wrong. And this mm-hmm. book's going to tell me all the things I'm doing wrong. But one of the things that I see, even after people embrace it, that they still struggle with is that chapter where you talk about fusion and differentiation. Because
right.
I think our society and I think movies and I think just how many of us think, those two things are almost flip-flopped. The fusion is this grand vision of romantic love and what romantic love is supposed to look like for a lot of people. And when you introduce them to the idea that perhaps that's not healthy, it completely shakes their whole world. It like rots them to the core. They don't know what to do with that. So when you're working with people, how do you help them reconcile and see fusion and differentiation in a different way so that they can go on to embrace that concept?
Well, fusion, I mean, we can fuse with a dream and an ideal movie of what we want. But, of course, that's our narcissism because I'm going to write a script and try to fit someone in it, you know. But getting to know someone is a back and forth. It's weaving, knowing each other and getting to connect and see what we like. But fusion is also, well, let me go to differentiation first. Differentiation is when you have your values and they sit firmly inside of you. It's like I have a confidence inside me and I know what I believe. I know who I am. I can listen to my feelings. It's kind of the ability to maintain your identity when you're in close relationship with other people. And same with other ideologies. It's like you're not going to be swept away by someone else's emotions and opinions or mood. So you're not going to just all of a sudden meet someone who postures themselves as the great all-knowing guru and then fall into them as if you're a child and they're the, you know, one step away from God. And that happens a lot.
Yeah.
It's like there's a wisdom to it. What I said is kind of a basic vow is more than anything else, I want myself. No conning, no bargaining, no lies. So that you're tuning in back to, is this right for me? How does this feel for me? But what happens so often, and people talk about this, oh, I lose myself when I get with someone. It means I do things that aren't my values, that don't go with my values. I give myself away. I stay up too late. I don't go see my friends. I maybe give away too much money. I have sex when I don't want to. It's like I'm afraid, and that's where you brought in fear, goes with that, that if I don't do those things, you won't be with me. And the point is, we want to know if the person stacks up to being a good partner.
Right.
Which means, if I'm upset, can this person talk about it? Are they going to run away or put me down? That's information you want to get. You're trying to figure out, is there a fit? And can we handle conflict? And can we have differences? Because with fusion, differences are threatening. And someone has to be right and someone has to be wrong. with differentiation, it's like there's fascination, interest, like, who are you? Tell me about yourself. Oh, well, I'm not like that, but this is how I am. This is how you are. Let's get to know each other. Now, I also want to not confuse fusion with the milk of human kindness and with attuning to someone, because people who are well connected and know each other well, they sense each other. They're attuned to each other. They can sense if the other person's sad or happy or what they want to do. And they're really tuned into that. And that's fine. You know, it has that composition of these two people that have created this kind of us place, this we. And there's a sense of our alchemy and our special union. And we want that. We have our own little language, our little jokes. We can wink our eyes at certain things. There's a knowingness. And that comes, though, out of the differentiation, because we can be different. We can enjoy different things and be together. We aren't jealous, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the part I think that so many people don't understand, is that differentiation can actually bring that closeness and that intimacy and that knowingness that you're looking for. But I think people fear it. They fear, you know, if I'm not completely immersed in this person, if I'm not, you know, in this enmeshment kind of a relationship with this person, then they're going to walk away from me. And the point is that maybe that if you have to be completely enmeshed and lose yourself in somebody and they walk away, maybe that's okay.
Well, yeah, but if you're enmeshed, the person to look at is yourself.
Right.
Because if you're sitting there, am I doing it right? Are they going to like me? Am I going to screw it up? Am I making a mistake? Am I looking right? Am I should I agree to this or not agree to this? You're so anxious, you really can't listen. You're worried. You're uneasy. And then you aren't getting to know the other person. You're trying to mold yourself into their world so they'll want you. It's kind of like a child wanting a parent. And there's a lot of that that goes on in dating. In fact, when we first meet someone and kind of have all those wonderful hormone feelings, very often people revisit a sort of child state. I've met the wonderful one, the one who knows all, the one who'll take care of me. You know, there's kind of a moment where these things come through our minds. But if they stick and we think, oh, I've met the perfect person, they're wonderful, they're going to be great, and so forth. Now, saying that, I'll jump to another thing, which is many, many people meet someone and they know somewhere in their heart right away that's who they want to be with. I remember in the movie The River, A River Runs Through It, when he's at a party and he sees this young woman, he says, who's she? And he's, that's it. He wants to marry her. And I've heard this from many men. They met the woman they wanted to marry, and then they got busy to court her so they could marry them. And they were good marriages. There's a difference from that, of that feeling something wonderful and feeling like a kid who found a parent. And it's really important to sort that out.
Yeah, and yeah. I think that that kind of knowingness that you're talking about there is not, I think that's what everyone is looking for, and I don't think everyone necessarily has that, because I think you have to be in a somewhat really healthy place sometimes to be able to get that knowing. And I think so many people just think that that lightning bolt, if it's not there, that somehow it's completely wrong too.
Right, yeah. And it's subtle, you know. It's like, if you get totally insecure when you start to date, you're hitting on old trigger points from childhood. You're basically falling into a child state, and you want mommy or daddy to approve of you, love you, care for you, etc. And that's when often it really helps to have some counseling.
Yes.
Now, that said, most people, when they're high on the adrenaline high and the amphetamine high from dating, they don't think much about that, because the in-love feelings are like a marvelous drug. But if you get insecure around dating and you keep feeling little and you're terrified the person will leave and you're devastated if they go away, that's when it's a really good time to have some counseling. Because, you know, I work with people a lot on this. I do a lot of Skype work too. That's where there's a little kid inside who hasn't gotten free of needing mommy and daddy yet.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and that'll dog you every time.
Well, now another thing. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say another thing that I see people really, really struggling with, and I think you talk about this toward the end of the book, and it kind of dovetails into this. This fear that people have, and they don't really understand the and recognize sometimes when they're feeling some of these feelings that really it's fear. So how do you work with people in understanding and recognizing this fear that they're beginning to feel? Because I think you talk about it in chapter 29 of the book. I should know that because I spent a lot of time on that one because I realized that I didn't always recognize these signs that I was feeling of fear as well when I started dating somebody. So how do you help people recognize that?
Well, basically, fear signals we've bumped into our false core beliefs, you know, like I'm not lovable, I'm powerless, I'm not going to be loved, I'm not going to win this person. We're always thinking they're going to leave us. And that fear is the opposite of feeling relaxed. And people will sometimes talk about when they met someone and it was so clear that person wanted to be with them. They weren't anxious, they weren't losing weight, they weren't just freaked out. And then the other thing is that our unconscious tells us an awful lot. Let me tell you a little story. Someone who was dating a person, he was very fun. He'd be there a couple, 3 days, then he'd be kind of gone for a little while, then he'd be back, and she got up very afraid. She was afraid to say, where do you go those days, or what's going on? She said, well, I don't want to upset him. There's fear. He's just only 2 years out of a divorce. I mean, she was babysitting him. She was, you know, trying to protect him. And she was away at a conference, and he walked in the hotel with another woman on his arm. He'd been seeing other women during that time. And then she was absolutely devastated. And one of the signs was she'd lost a lot of weight. She'd lost about 20 pounds. Because her unconscious knew something was off. And if you're anxious all the time and cannot sleep, generally I would say the truth is not being spoken by somebody. And one way to get at it is ask questions. And if you start feeling nervous and anxious, maybe trust that. Now, if you always get freaked out that someone's going to leave you, that may be part of yours to look at. But when I've had that anxious feeling, I have never been wrong. There was something really unsaid and unclear.
Yeah, and as you say that, I'm thinking, wow, I'm pretty sure I've dated that guy.
Right.
I mean, I think we all have dated somebody in that's a little bit like that. But one of the things I always said is that when Steve and I got together and decided to date, we were actually friends first. And when we decided to date, I remember saying I never felt anxious at all. I never felt like, oh, I have to wear the perfect outfit, or my hair has to look good, or, you know, I have to wear the perfect shoes. I never felt any of that. And I got to thinking about it, and I was like, huh. A lot of times, all that anxiousness sometimes is really maybe telling you that either you have some work to do on yourself, or maybe this person's not exactly the right person. And I have this one friend of mine, she swears the more excited and the more anxious she gets about somebody, the harder it is that it's going to be to have a relationship with them. And she's generally right. So a lot of times those anxiety feelings, you're absolutely right, pay attention, because it's your body telling you that either you don't have all the information or you need to ask some more questions.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, to kind of come back to another place, is you want to find out who this person is.
Right.
So if they show up and my hair isn't combed and I'm in a t-shirt and jeans, are they going to run away because I don't look the role of the cool woman and the perfect model? If I'm 5 pounds overweight, am I going crazy to try to lose it? You know, if you can't be yourself, and in different ways. You know, yeah, you can dress up great for fun, and you can look plain Jane, you know? And are they okay with that? Or do you feel like you have to put on an act all the time? Do you have to put on a front? Well, that's fear. And
absolutely,
that's kind of the confusion thing, yeah. Because when I did date a man for quite a long time, and I never worried. He wanted to be with me. It was totally clear, and there was no anxiety and no problem.
Well, so let me ask you this. So this is, and I can say this from experience, that when you kind of start to go down this path of wanting to have a more conscious, you know, you want to date in a more conscious way, and you know that you want to have a more conscious relationship the next time around, it can be a little bit of daunting of figuring out, you know, where do I start? So where would you suggest that somebody kind of start with this journey? What would you suggest that they start off doing?
Well, you know, there's the stuff on the outside and the stuff on the inside. Excuse me. The stuff on the outside is like, well, what am I looking for? Am I looking for marriage? I had a friend who started dating, and she was very clear on the outset of the first date, I'm dating for marriage, you know, and that was very clear. So, and she told people that. Well, what's the longing? What are you looking for? And then you look inside. Am I looking for someone to cure the emptiness, take away my pain, have money, have things, have safety? And there's a middle ground with that, because it's wonderful having four hands doing things. It's wonderful if both people are contributing to a couple or a marriage and both give to it. Being partnered is a wonderful thing. So if we're longing for that, then go about it. I know people who have just told all their friends, okay, I want to date, I want to meet somebody, so if you have anyone for me to meet, let me know. That's one thing. I'm certainly not against online. People have done it for eons. It's changed forms. And people were surprised in a book with Buddhism that I'd said that, because you know, people can hit on someone else in an ashram or in a yoga class or in a church or whatever. It's like our job to learn to recognize, you know, when there's a con and when someone's being genuine. That can be anywhere.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Because you said, church, a temple, anywhere, you can find somebody that's can possibly going to hit on you. And I think online, I mean, Steve and I are going to a wedding tomorrow night. Actually, he's marrying this couple who met online. And I know so many people that, you know, they just kind of poo-poo it as, oh, that's just people wanting to play or whatever. But there are people out there who know exactly what they want, and they go out there and they meet a lot of different people and they figure it out, and they do wind up in wonderful relationships and even marriages. So it absolutely can work. Well, again, thank you so much for being with us tonight. So if somebody would like to maybe work with you, I don't know, we were talking a little bit before this segment started about, do you still do some work, therapy groups and things like that? You said you do some stuff over Skype. How could people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about your books, or maybe if they want to work with you?
Well, they can go online, charlottecastle.com. That's my website, and there's a phone number on that. Yes, I do see people on Skype, not a ton, but I love working with people, and I love working with them on relationships and existing relationships. I do couple work on Skype as well, and I trained a great deal in emotionally focused couple therapy with Susan Johnson, which is just a wonderful model that fits so well with my book. I had finished my book when I started taking her course. Oh, it was 10 years ago or something, and I gave her the book, and she liked it so much because she thought it was very much what she was saying in a different language,
mm-hmm.
but very much the same. So, yeah, they can call me. I'm in Montana. Call information for Charlotte Castle, KASL. I'm the only one in the state, in Missoula, and my office phone number is also on my website, Charlotte Castle.
And what we'll do is we'll put your website information up on our Facebook page and everything, and we'll send it out to our listeners so that they can absolutely get in touch with you if they want to. Because I think, you are one of the few people out there that's truly offering a not just a therapeutic look, but you're also offering a spiritual and a mindful way. And I know just my background being clinical psychology, I know we've progressed over the years in working with people. We've gone from psychoanalysis to cognitive behavioral, and now the trend kind of goes to more mindful ways of working with people. And I think the stuff that you do kind of blends all of that together in a really beautiful way that I think is very beneficial to people who are maybe still struggling. Maybe they're in a relationship, but they're struggling in the relationship that they're in. And I think that the work that you do in books like the Buddha series, because you have If the Buddha Dated, you have If the Buddha Got Married, If the Buddha Had Children. Was there another one?
If the Buddha Got Stuck.
If the Buddha Got Stuck, yes. I knew that. I have not read that one. That one's next on the list. I have not read that one. But I read the marriage and the kids and the dating series. And so, yeah. So, I mean, I just think that series just kind of turns the way we look at dating relationships and marriages and stuff. It just kind of turns it on its head. And I think it's a refreshing, even though it's not new, you've written them a while back. I think it's just a refreshing way to look at things. And hopefully we can introduce your view on some stuff to a lot more people out there, because I think it's definitely needed. And again, thank you so much for coming on with us tonight.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Great, Dr. Castle. And hopefully in the future, I'd love to have you back on again to dig in even deeper to some of this stuff. Because like I said, I think it's an issue and a concept whose time is going to come back around, because I think there's a lot of people that need it. So thank you so much. And with that, guys, we're going to have to take a quick little break. And when we come back, we'll be in our third segment and we'll wrap up the show. So don't go away. You're listening to Mod Love.
This is Stephen Cardinal of Mod Love, and if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to head out to iTunes and leave us a review. Doing so will really help us reach more people and touch more lives. And if you're not an iTunes user, even a review on our Facebook page will go a long way in showing your support. Thanks a lot, and thanks for listening to Mod Love.
This is Jody Riley.
And I'm Stephen Cardinal.
Oh, sorry. Did I forget to announce that you're my co-host?
That's okay.
That guy that sits in the other chair over there, that's Steve. We didn't actually talk about this in the first segment because we got on to our listener question because we were both kind of excited about that one. But tonight in our third segment, we're going to talk about some common mistakes that you make in your relationships. And I found an article very recently from the Ulm Times, and we'll actually post this up on the Facebook page if people want to go out and read it themselves.
A little annoying that they had the autoplay video stuff on each page.
Yeah.
So I took the contents out of that into my little Word doc that we use here for doing the show. Because that was too annoying. But just be aware, if you're going to Ulm Times, to read this stuff. And it is a good article. There's lots of good stuff out there. And you do certainly want to support the companies that actually allow them to exist, since it's free content. But, you know, some content is just a little too annoying. So feel free to block.
We're not big fans of the autoplay video
stuff. A little too
much
in your face.
Yeah. Well, especially if the sound is on. That's my issue. But anyway. So, again, this was like, you know, common relationship mistakes that people made. And I can't really see that screen all that well. So can you read out that first one for me there, dear?
Sure. This first one is that the thinking that we should settle for less than what we want. The idea that some people have some low self-esteem and that they're led to believe while growing up that maybe they didn't deserve the best out of life, including their relationships. And so you're kind of prone to settling for less. And you think that you don't deserve better.
Well, and I kind of agree with this one. And then I kind of have a little bit of a dissent on this.
Okay, let's.
Because.
The descent into madness.
The descent into madness. Here's my thing. Absolutely everybody deserves to pursue exactly what they want. However, if you limit yourself and you keep putting all of these filters, you know, he must be 6'1" or above. He must have brown eyes. He must be completely physically fit. He must make $121,000 a year. The more specific that you get sometimes, the further you shrink your dating pool. So just because you deserve to have everything you want, if you limit yourself down and you specify it down so small, you might be limiting yourself to your dating pool. So you really need to be very, very clear on what are deal breakers and what are preferences.
Right. I think one thing that the author is kind of pointing towards more is the, like your friends may just be like, oh, he's not that bad. You know, he...
Right. You know, dating somebody because you have a lack of self-esteem.
He only hit you once or...
Oh, yeah,
something,
no.
You know, something like that where, well, no, you deserve better than that. So
right.
This is more about the person, their attitudes, their beliefs, their morals and whatnot rather than their height and their hair color and stuff like that.
But I've seen people take it to that extreme. But I'm okay. But, you know, I absolutely deserve to have someone that makes $100,000 a year and is over 6'1", even if you live in a town where nobody makes over 58 grand a year.
Yeah. And personally, to me, that's a little too... You deserve to have someone who's loving and caring and treats you well and to that point. And so you shouldn't settle for less there. But... specific things like that, which don't have anything to do with a person's character, that to me is not.
You wouldn't do that.
No, I don't think that's the helpful. I don't think if you're making the mistakes there, you got a lot of mistakes to kind of work off.
Because that's more like dating for your ego versus dating for more of a
habit
of
finding
a
soulmate
or
a life partner or something like that.
Right.
So another relationship mistake that comes up often is, trying to get our partner to change. So instead of recognizing that our partners are another person who has their own way of thinking and acting, we think of them as projects. We say, you know, yeah, this person, you know, so I have a couple friends who are a couple, and there's a whole idea of, you know, he's a car geek and, you know, the car has all this stuff and everything. And if you were going into it thinking that, well, once we're in a relationship, he'll kind of give that stuff up, that even though that's his passion, it's just because he doesn't have someone in his life, he'll eventually give that stuff up and devote more of his time to me. That's that whole expecting that person is going to change. And that's not, no guarantee.
That's
and you
not...
shouldn't be expecting that because that's what that person was before you even started dating, to think that they're going to change just for you. And vice versa.
Right. Well, and I say to people, you know, take your partner, the person that you've been dating, and take all of their most annoying things that they do that drive you nuts after you've only been out on 5 dates. That's who they're going to be forever.
Yeah. Wait till after that, because a lot of people, we know them, will go on those first few dates and they are just trying to impress. They're not being themselves. They are trying to be who they think that you want to win you over. So you do have to go on a number of dates with these people to kind of get through, all right, who is this person really? And so, you know, certainly before getting serious, you kind of got to weed through that and say, is this person really like this, or is this they're on their best behavior?
They're just trying to make me think that this is who they are.
That's one of the benefits of waiting a bit before getting serious, is that you can kind of wait for them to start lowering those defenses a little bit and kind of get a peek behind the curtain and see, is this the crazy green wizard guy, or is this the quaint little old man who just kind of got stuck in his life.
In Oz.
In Oz, exactly.
Well, and that's one of the reasons that we always say, you know, it's a really good idea to date friends, because you already know this person. You've probably seen them go through a couple of crises or a couple of breakups or whatever. You kind of already know that person and you know what they're like. You know if they go crazy if somebody rejects them for a date or whatever. So you kind of have that going in. So,
and because you were only friends, chances are they are being more honest of who they are with you, so that they're not going to suddenly, if they were to suddenly turn around and start behaving completely different with you once you decide to go on a date, you're going to recognize that right off the bat and say, wait a minute, this isn't that person that I was just hanging out with the last 6 months as friends. This is someone completely different. What a wacko.
and you know, and that was, yeah, that's actually something that you should probably look for. And what is number three there?
The last major mistake that we make in relationships is projecting the people from the past onto the people we know about.
Today. Look at that.
And you just brought that up earlier. You know, whether it be, you know, your parents, maybe you like your partner because they remind you of your mother or your father, some right? We go with what's familiar. We are familiar with what they give. And sometimes they have good traits of our parents, and we like that. But sometimes they have traits that we didn't like, but they don't necessarily come from the same place. They didn't have the same history with you. And so
you can't really assign that to them. Right.
You can't start projecting upon them that, oh, they're doing it because the because is completely different, and it may not even mean what you're interpreting it as. You really kind of have to kind of beat through that.
Right. And I think, you know, and you see this all the time. Someone will have predetermined what a certain behavior means because, well, when my dad did that, or my ex did that, or my mom did that, or, you know, my high school boyfriend did that, or whatever, this is what it meant. Well, that's not necessarily what it means when someone else does it. Right. You have to kind of have that conversation of, okay, so when you don't call me for 2 weeks, I think that means you don't want to go out with me anymore. What does that mean? What does it really mean? Well, it may not mean that you don't want, it may just mean that, you know, his cell phone died or.
Right. Or he's on a bender.
Right.
He's an alcoholic. Sorry.
Or he is one of those people that gets very into his work, but you have to know if that's something you can deal with.
Right.
So, you know, it's one of those things. But don't necessarily assign, and don't assign what someone's behavior means. Don't assign meaning to a behavior without having a conversation like that. Don't project forward what you think it means.
Right, because you have no idea what they're, what's bringing that up. You know, they could be reacting to something you're doing, and they're interpreting yours based off of what their parent did. And so their response back is now reminding you of something. But in either case, you may have both interpreted wrong. And so you're, you know, it's like playing tennis ball with a raccoon.
Absolutely. So there you go. 3 common relationship mistakes that people are making. So if you've done this in the past, or you're doing it right now, or you don't want to do this in your future relationship, kind of take to heart, write these down. And we'll put up the link to the Ohm Times article.
There you go.
Yes, that word.
That word.
Article. And like we've said before, if you have not done so, please go out and visit modloveradio.com. We have lots of stuff out there. You can check out
video
tips.
We don't have any autoplay audio or
video.
No,
you have to actually click on
it
if you want the video to play.
If you want to hear it,
yep. Yeah, you have to click on the video to play. We have video tips out there. We also have, you can join our listener club, which you will get 2 free gifts from us.
A brand new car.
No, we're not giving away cars, babe, unless you're buying. Are you buying cars?
Man, I got a whole box of matchboxes.
Well, there you go. We'll give you a matchbox car. No. We're going to send you a couple of free gifts. They will not be cars or matchbox cars.
They'll be electronically delivered.
And also, if you are actually still out there doing the online dating thing, we have up on the right-hand side,
you
the
say
very
that
top,
in a way that they maybe shouldn't be. You're actually doing that still?
Well, some people are. Some people have gotten to the point where they're so sick of it, they're not doing it anymore. So if we have people out there that are still doing it, which I don't think online dating's bad. I think, you know, the technology is what it is. You know, it's not bad.
You just have to expect that it is different.
Yeah.
It's a different animal than live dating, and you can't compare the two.
Right.
Because you're going to be frustrated with both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to be very frustrated if you try to compare, you know, meeting somebody organically versus meeting them online, because it's not really the same animal. But if you are still doing the online dating, please go out there to the website, because we have some free training videos that we'll send to you that teaches you how to create an online dating profile that'll get you better results. And so you can go out there and just put your name and email, and we'll email those directly to you. We don't email them to you all at once, because it can be a little overwhelming all at once. So we email them to you every day or so, like over a period of a couple, 2-3 days. And because there's a lot of information in those videos, because I put them together. So, but yeah, go out there and check those out, modloveradio.com. And I think that's going to end our show, because we got to get on out of here. But yeah, because we went a little longer with our feature segment tonight. And again, thank you so much for Dr. Castle for being with us tonight. It was an absolutely fantastic interview. And we'll actually put up her website as well. So if people want to go check out her books, and you can purchase If the Buddha Dated from our website.
That's right.
Yeah.
It'll take you right to Amazon.
Absolutely.
And if you got the one click turned on, click on that, click on the buy right now, and boom, it's on its way.
There you go. Yeah. Fantastic book. Highly recommend it. I will say it is one of those books that pretty much changed the way I thought about dating when I read it. So you know, I would say absolutely go out there and get your own copy of it and check out Dr. Castle's work, because she's absolutely fantastic.
And in an abstract sort of way, it led to the two of us getting together. So
yes, it did. There you go. It absolutely did. So
if it worked for us, it can work for you too.
Yes. So get your copy today, Mod Love Radio, Books and Resources. You can get it. So, and again, thank you guys so much for listening every week. And we hope to see you back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. You've been listening to
Mod Love.